We ask that you would inspire him now as he comes to speak, that your voice, your Holy Spirit, might be heard through Tim's words and touch our hearts for your glory. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. If I'm honest with you, I still feel a bit as if I'm on fire from Oldham. And that's not a bad thing. To actually be able to share part of your testimony to another church is emotional. Excuse me. But also inspiring. Because you all know where I came from when I first came in here. I was broken. I just found out that my daughter had been hurt by another man. And the anger I felt and not feeling I had anywhere until I came to Christ. The hardest thing on that journey was when I actually, when we were going through the court case and I got the phone call from the sergeant saying, don't go into Colchester. Your brother-in-law is and has an appointment at Essex County Hospital at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So with a man that has so much anger and not so much faith, that was a really, really hard thing for me to deal with on my own. Although I'd started my journey in faith, I hadn't fully grabbed it. And as you've heard, some of you might not have heard, but some of you might know that I went into Colchester that day to exact revenge. Not even my wife knew on the day. And I was coming out of Colchester, just near Boots and in between that and the Baptist Church. And there's a couple of steps, crowds of people around. And then all of a sudden, they all stopped. A man walked towards me, the only person moving, and he touched me on my shoulder. And he said, don't do it, think of the family. Now I can only take that someone was either a guardian angel, other people I've told my testimony to said maybe it was Jesus, I don't know. Who am I to assume that? What my job was to do was to act on it. And as I came through, if I turned left, I would have exacted revenge. I chose to turn right. The point of me saying this is David was having a hard time. But David knew exactly who to turn to. I wasn't too sure at the time, but I made the right decision. So the importance of us going from church today, tomorrow, the whole week, and the future, and spreading the word of the gospel is imperative. There's no point in being here on a Sunday, sitting down on the chair, saying the right words at the right times. Oh, I feel brilliant. It's not that. There's more to it. Yes, that is part of it. But we need to get out and tell people. As you know, I work in a care home. The first thing I said, I think I've told you before, was I was a Christian when I had the interview. Strangest interview I've ever had. On the phone, not even a video call, it was just the phone, 3 people on the other end and me talking to them. But I emphasise that I will be bringing my Christian faith to my job. And if you don't want that, then it's the wrong job for me. They embraced it. And the rest is history, because I was able to take my pastoral care to each and every person. Not only one home, a few weeks later I got another home. So I got 48 rooms, and then I had 46 rooms. That's a lot of residents, a lot of staff, and a lot of families that need caring for. That's why when within the first 6 weeks I found out that they weren't having a communion service during the lockdown. I asked Ian's permission and I asked the local vicar's permission whether I could take that in. And there was an exception that I could. So I did that job. I don't want you to think that I'm standing here saying this is what I do. I lead by example. I am told this is what I have to do. So I've done that. And the rewards are a true blessing. My blessings have been being able to say goodbye and bless people when they die. To comfort the family in their hour of need. And there's no other blessing that can ever be compared to that at end of life. Because it's beautiful. To actually walk through the care home and someone say, well, Tim, could I have a quick word with you? Not work related. I've got a bit of a problem. Can you help me? And just that listening ear and a prayer is enough. But we can't sit on our laurels. We can't sit in our comfort zone. We have to rise up. We have to spread the word. We have to make a difference. Whether it's in the shops. I don't know if you've ever been in the shop. Walking down the aisle, and there's usually either a man or an older lady that are on their own, and they want to give you their life story. I say listen to it. I say embrace it. Because you could be the only person that does that. And that could mean so much to them. Spread your faith. Because loneliness can be dealt with. Come to church. Join the church, join the family, embrace it, and they'll embrace you. Even when you first come, they embrace you before they even know you, because they know you're searching. The love is Jesus. Jesus doesn't want anything else, he wants your heart. That's all he wants. And if that's all you've got to give, that's all he wants. But he can do so much with it. I started off as a wreck. I'm still shattered inside, because yesterday when I had the vocations day, the emotion got to me. But instead of having one or two people at the local evangelist talk, half a dozen. Was that the reason why God wanted you, me to be the way I am? I can't answer that. So when Monday comes, tomorrow, how are you going to change? How are you going to make a difference in someone's life? Is it going to be that you're on the bus and just having a conversation? You don't have to do anything. Jesus does it all. The Holy Spirit is with you, and Jesus is with you always. And if he wants someone, you could plant that mustard seed in their life. Just let it grow. Just plant it and see it move. Maybe you never see it, but if you don't plant it, how are you going to know? Just get the seed and keep spreading it. Go through life and keep spreading. As I've said, I lead by example. And that's how I feel as a Christian we have to be. I'm not saying I'm right, I'm not saying I'm wrong. But that's how I've learned. There's some great footballers that have led by example. Brian Robson, that's one for Phil, and Stephen Gerrard. They lead by example. When the team isn't working properly, they come forward and they say, "Here I am." Send me. Have you ever had your heart broken doing God's work? Numerous times. Numerous times. And if you don't, you're not doing it. You're not doing what Jesus wants you to do. He sent out the 12, he sent out the 72. Did they question? No, they didn't. We have to listen. We come in every Sunday. We sit, we do our bit, and we go. If we don't go out there and do any work, what we do in here is pointless. I ask you, I implore you to do Jesus' work. Even if it's just that walking round the road and there's one person walking towards you, good morning. That person might never speak to anyone for the rest of the day. That good morning means the world. The promise of Jesus' love is just that one good morning. That one good morning leads to a conversation. That conversation leads to church. And that church leads to being saved. There's a dark, dark world we live in. We can see it all around us. You've got Ukraine, you've got the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. You've got so many more things happening on. We've got the onset of probable or not so probable nuclear war. It's a word that's bandied around. We need to be in amongst it to stop it. And we can't do it from the church. We can't do it from sitting on our chair saying, "Yes, amen, praise the Lord." We have to get up. We have to evangelize. We have to make ourselves uncomfortable in what we do. Because if you're comfortable, you're not doing your job. It's not easy. People might say that I find it easy. I don't find it easy. I've had a blessing, like the time when I had the full-size cross in my garage at work, and the carpet layer came, "Oh, what, are you a Christian or something?" "Oh, yeah, obviously." And that led to my testimony, him telling me that he had been abused. That has sown a seed. If we don't sow the seed, we can't achieve anything. We need young people. We need to be more active within the church, the school. We really do. Young people need to come here. They need to listen and hear that there's hope in this world. Don't just look at your iPhone, your iPad, because if you listen to that and the news, you're brainwashed. You have to listen to the heart. Jesus is going to carry us through everything we do. He doesn't abandon us. And part of me telling my testimony is, he was there, he picked me up and he carried me through. He took me from being a no one, well, a carpenter, shall we say. But I'm sure Jesus was a carpenter, but I bet you he was the best carpenter that ever lived in the time that he was working as a carpenter, because he honed his skill in that moment. Now we have to stand up and be counted. Go forth and make a difference this week for Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And so we pray. Sovereign Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises of protection against all fears. God, today we open our heart to you. We want to feel your passion for people. Help us to carry the heart of Christ with us wherever we go, with these words in our hearts. Here I am, send me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I do for your kingdom's cause. Keep your people, Lord, in the arms of your embrace. Shelter them under your wings. Be their light in darkness. Be their hope in distress. Be their calm in anxiety. Be strength in their weakness. Be their comfort in pain. And be their song in the night. Here I am, Lord, send me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.